Hello and welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on 102.7 FM CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, BC, Canada. Today is Friday, August 19th, and you're listening to the Animal Voices Radio Show, which I already said because I'm losing my mind. On today's show, we have Kelly Pelosa, who is the author of the cookbook, The Vegan Cookie Connoisseur. I keep calling it just The Cookie Connoisseur. Maybe that's... Have I reached that level of veganism that I don't even see the word?
I'm getting there, I must say. I like forget to ask for soy milk sometimes.
Yeah.
And things like that. I'm like, oh, but isn't
everyone
vegan by now?
Totally natural, right? Or when you go to a restaurant, and especially like a vegetarian restaurant, and you don't think to say, oh, I need that to be vegan.
Yeah.
And you're like, And we will also be talking to Sonia, I think it's Lemoyne, I'm going to guess is how you say her name. She is the editor-in-chief of the new magazine out of Toronto that started up, I think they might be on their second edition now, called Vegan News Magazine. So I guess they've taken veg news to a whole other level.
I was wondering if that was a spelling error, but no, it's Vegan News.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool. So we'll have that on later in the show. And, oh, I left the book in the car. That's not very helpful, but I just sort of wanted to talk a little bit about Kelly's book, The Vegan Cookie Connoisseur. It's really full of, there's 120 different cookies, so I can only imagine how many cookies she had to eat. Maybe she has a tally. We can ask her how many cookies she ate while she wrote the book.
Oh, what a hard life.
So there's 120 different varieties, and there are some exciting ones in there. Like, well, I was really excited to see, I haven't had a chance to make it yet, but graham crackers. Have you guys ever, I can never seem to find vegan graham crackers. Like, sometimes recipes call for it for like a crust or different things like that, and I can't find graham crackers that don't have honey in them.
Oh, so, okay. I've never really looked, but so you can make your own.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool. And then another one that I'll ask her to confirm. I'm pretty sure she won a contest with one of the entries, root beer float cookies.
Ooh.
That's the one I'm most interested to make, but I can't seem to find the root beer extract. So maybe if you live in America, that's the real answer.
In America.
In the land of dreams. Vegan dreams come true down there.
That's what I hear. I'm headed to Seattle this weekend to live some vegan dreams.
If you happen to see some root beer extract,
I'll keep my eyes open.
I would greatly appreciate that. And then, you know, your reward would be some root beer float cookies. I did have a chance last week to make the peanut butter oatmeal cookies, and I must say they were delicious.
Yes.
Even though I burned them a little. So I think that speaks volumes for the recipe. No fault of Kelly's. That was me, totally me, walking away from the oven. Being like, it's 11:30 at night. I should write a list of things I need to do for work tomorrow and forget all about my cookies.
I do that a lot. I don't make cookies because of that. They're always like burnt. Like, it's just such an art, such a science.
Oh,
I don't understand. I'm way too haphazard.
I'm very excited that I finally, you know, I've been baking for like 7 years and I just bought an oven timer.
Oh, good for you.
To try to avoid these mishaps. So in other news, did you guys hear that Abercrombie & Fitch is asking Mike the Situation from Jersey Shore not to wear their clothes anymore? They've offered to pay him money.
Sorry, I can't get over that. His name is Mike the Situation?
Yes, okay. Mike the Situation Sorrentino. That's what he
calls
himself.
Going over my head. I don't know what Jersey Shore is.
So, it's an MTV reality
show.
And
I barely know what Abercrombie and Fitch is. I don't even know if I said that right. I don't even know.
Fitch.
Okay, so they make clothes.
They do.
And they paid him
They've offered to pay him not to wear their clothes because they think he's embarrassing.
Oh.
They've actually gotten a lot more publicity out of it, and I bet you're both wondering how this relates to our show. So they've offered to pay him not to wear their clothes, and PETA has offered to pay him to wear their clothes.
Oh,
is the thing.
Wow.
So what do you guys think about that?
What does this have to do with animals exactly?
Why does PETA want him to wear their clothes?
Because the Jersey Shore is like I think it's probably the number one reality show right now.
Right.
So it's really popular, and it would get a lot of people interested in PETA. So,
Okie dokie. I have another little PETA news tidbit.
Yeah.
But that'll be coming up later. You'll have to just hang on.
You will have to wait with bated breath. Can you stand the anticipation?
I can barely hold on. I'm bursting.
So I just have a couple of thank yous here. We had our potluck last weekend, which I guess we could talk about that a little bit.
I saw pictures. It looked like fun.
Yeah. I guess you both weren't there. But I was there.
Tell us about it.
There was a lot of food and there was a lot of people. And I don't know. There was a magical table that showed up. I went to get a table because there were no tables there yet. And when I came back, there were three tables. Tara brought one, Allison brought one, and then we don't know who brought the third.
Oh,
wow.
So we had too many tables.
Who took it away?
I don't know.
It was just, the magical table that brought it.
It was also suddenly gone when I turned around. Wow. But I think there were about 50 people showed up. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
And I'm not sure if random people were stopping by too, but it kind of seemed like that. So we had a raffle that was a huge success. Allison got a lot of prizes together, including one from Fairy Cakes, which is the new vegan cupcakery that will be opening right near Nice Shoes. I think they open September 15th or something like that. So we just wanted to say thank you to Fairy Cakes for the donation of, I think it was 2 dozen cupcakes.
Wow. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Cupcakes from the future, but cupcakes.
Futuristic cupcakes.
You can't eat them just yet, but whoever won that is happy.
Yes.
I'm sure. All right. And then just one other thank you, which I didn't get permission for this, but that's okay. I'd just like to thank Rob Sugimoto, who donated our Animal Voices banner, which you might see us with at events if you've seen us. It's pretty pretty.
Pretty pretty.
All right. So now we're going to just take time for a PRA.
Every Friday night at 8 p.m., lay your burden down and get on board the gospel train. Music, interviews, live guests, local performance information. All aboard the gospel train, Fridays at 8 p.m.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Co-op Radio 102.7 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada. I am here with the news. Just some, first I'll start in BC. This was reported in the Vancouver Sun yesterday, August 18th. The BC government justifies an open season policy on wolves in the Cariboo region by saying their numbers are at a historic high and they're having a significant impact on livestock. But the stats are actually showing a different story. There was 78 verified livestock losses to predators on Crown land across the province, which was actually the lowest in 4 years. To give an idea of how many cattle are grazing on Crown range land across BC, it's about 150,000. 4 years ago, there was maybe 100 deaths to predators. Paul Paquette, who's been studying wolves for 40 years around the world, says that allowing for and encouraging indiscriminate killing of wolves is reckless and irresponsible, especially when there's no reliable estimate of the number of wolves being hunted. Paul thinks that there should be a targeted and limited removal of predators responsible for preying on livestock. Not exactly sure what that would mean. Targeted and limited removal. Does that mean that just the killers should be stalked and killed? Or I'm not exactly sure. But in any case, right now, there's no limits whatsoever. There's been, since 1979, there's actually been no closed season for wolf hunting in the agricultural areas in the Peace region. Elsewhere in BC, there's a limit of about 3 wolves. And, of course, unlimited trapping with leg hole traps during the spring and summer is allowed as well, which, of course, just makes you cringe, like that people are still hunting that way. I mean, not that it's necessarily any better than shooting, but just the idea of animals suffering for, you know, days.
Oh, yeah, it's so slow and painful.
Yeah. Usually the trapping is only allowed in the winter, but I think because the, I don't know, the I guess pressure from ranchers and everything, they think that they're a big problem. And so now leghole trapping is allowed all year round.
Oh, my gosh. The
province actually pays out to the ranchers who lose their cattle to predation, and I guess they're just trying to save money. It's like about $130,000 per year. Kind of interesting. And I wanted to mention a little bit. I saw on the Georgia Strait website yesterday, actually, that PETA is set to produce a porn site as a fundraiser for the animals. It's going to be PETA.xxx. I'm not making this up. I was like,
I wonder if they're making it up, though.
The Georgia Strait?
No, not the Georgia Strait. PETA. Like, if it's just a publicity thing?
Maybe.
I don't know. I hope. I kind of hope it is, because if it isn't, that's just going to hurt them even more, because that's already what people see them as. Unless that's why they're doing it. And they're like, well, we might as well embrace it.
We might as well.
Because people already have these ideas. You just like lettuce girls that walk around in lettuce. Like.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot of money to be made.
That's true.
And it could help a lot of animals. Hmm. What do you think?
I do think... Maybe it's the smartest business decision in this economy.
It's controversial, no doubt.
It definitely gets more people talking about PETA. But I don't know. Maybe it's a really weird form of outreach that no one else is trying.
Yep.
Would there be like vegan themes? And
I think so. Probably like that Super Bowl ad they had. You know, that was pretty pornographic.
Or maybe it would be like, oh, look it, we're working down at Farm Sanctuary, and then one thing leads to another.
Okay, that's
inside.
Enough of that. Let's wrap that one up. I think that's about all I have for the news.
Was it on PETA's website?
You know, it was on the Georgia Strait. So, I mean, reliable local source, but I don't know. I just heard.
I think you're going to have to call them to check that out.
It's a rumor. That's all I have for the news today.
Alrighty. So we have on the line with us now Sonia Lemoine from Vegan News Magazine, who is going to talk to us more about the new magazine and I think some ways you can get involved and such. So welcome to the Animal Voices show here on 102.7 FM CFRO.
Hi.
Oh, okay. Yay.
We connected.
Yes. Thank you. So can you just tell us a bit about Vegan News Magazine and how it got started?
Sure. Vegan News actually was going to start off as just a newsletter, like an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that, you know, sort of the things you see in coffee houses that are around, just to pick it up and read. And so that turned into 4 pages, which turned into 12, which turned into 24. And by the time it was ready to get printed, it was a magazine. So we had to change from calling it Vegan Newsletter to Vegan News Magazine. So it's really about conscious living. And it's covering all kind of topics that are important to being green and eco-friendly. And to sort of clarify that veganism is not just about food or diet, but it takes in about being health conscious, an animal activist, and basically the environment. So it covers all those topics in each issue, always about food, the environment, and the animals.
That's really great. That's cool to hear that it... Like, you would think that you would have started with the process of going from a newsletter to a magazine, but before it even went to print, it turned into a magazine.
Yeah, it was crazy, And in a good way, because it was amazing the feedback that we were getting as people were starting to hear about this newsletter that was coming out. And then we had people that wanted to come on board to contribute to the magazine, that wanted to either write information on, well, for example, the one with pet safety for the summer, or people wanted to write about what are we, carnivores as humans, or are we herbivores? So we started getting article submission after submission, and it just blew up into a wonderful magazine that we're really happy to say is no longer just in Canada, but is North American and out in a few other countries already. And that was just with the pilot issue. So
has it just been the one issue so far?
Just the one issue, yes. Oh. And the next one will be out in a few weeks. The fall issue is coming out shortly.
And are there places that you can get it in Vancouver? Because I know you're based out of Toronto, right?
No, we're actually based out of Winnipeg. Everybody's Winnipeg? Is there anything vegan coming out of Winnipeg? But we've actually got a very strong, very large vegan community here. And, and in Vancouver, it's available at Carmivore. I'm trying to think offhand what the locations are. Victoria has it at Sarah's Place, Sarah Kramer's new place that she opened up. And the Whole Foods out there also carries it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and we're constantly adding places. So, I mean, we try to keep the website up to date with all the locations across Canada that you can get the magazine. And because it's distributed freely, because that was the plan for the newsletter, is to make it free and available to everyone to sort of enlighten them and make them aware of what veganism is. And we wanted to continue with it when it turned into a magazine. It is free, and so everybody wants it. And so clients and customers have been asking retailers, can you get the magazine for us? So it's been a matter of keeping up with demand, which has been kind of wild. But, so those are the places I can think of off the top that it is available in Vancouver or in the Vancouver area. But definitely people can check out the website for updated information on that.
And how many copies did you print the first time?
It started off with 2,000, went to 12,000.
Wow.
So we had to go back to print.
So is that what you're planning for the next issue is about 12,000?
Exactly. Okay. And the next issue is going to be even more exciting because, as you may or may not know, on the cover of the summer issue, we had Brendan Brazier, who's our Canadian triathlete, on the cover. He's now come on board the magazine and will have his own column.
Oh.
Sarah Kramer's coming on, and she's going to have her own column in the magazine as well. She's
Can
got
I have
sort
a
of like a vegan version of Dear Abby, where it's called Dear Sarah, and you can write to her with whatever your questions might be. And of course, Brendan will be handling the scope of vegan fitness and sports nutrition.
Are you still looking to take more contributors?
Oh, we're constantly open to contributors, and you know what? We'd love, especially if one of the many talented people over at Animal Voices, is we are really looking for someone to contribute more on animal welfare, animal rights. So, we're constantly looking for new and lively people to come on board and to write for the magazine, definitely.
Well, I might be contacting you later.
Great. Well, it'll be exciting. I hope I do hear from you.
Great. So where do you see it going? Like, do you see it expanding even further and getting bigger and bigger?
Well, it's so funny that you say that because some of the staff we were talking, and we said how when the magazine went to print on Facebook, social media is wild. You know, it started off with 39 likes, and before it had even been completely distributed just here in Winnipeg, it had exploded to where we're almost at 1,000 people.
Wow.
So it's definitely growing. The emails that we keep getting on a daily basis have even been hard to keep up with. And it's all been really positive feedback. So I think we know we're going in the right direction.
Yeah. Are you looking for, like, contributors for ads and things like that? Is that how you're looking to, I guess that's how you're paying for all the printing?
That's how we're sustaining the magazine, definitely, with advertising. Because we want to keep it as a free magazine.
Yeah.
Because I think it's so important to get that word out there. And usually if it's a magazine that people have to purchase, it's not going to appeal to everyone. But now suddenly they go to their favorite restaurant or their favorite vegan-friendly retail outlet, and it's there. They pick it up, or the baggers are throwing it in the bags for them. And suddenly the foodie people are like, wow, great recipes. I would have never thought of making something like this, you know? So we're getting emails from them. Or people who are animal lovers are like, you know what, that's a great article. I'm glad you wrote something about not leaving pets locked up in the car in the summer while people are grocery shopping. I see it all the time. And thank you. And then there's the enviro-friendly people that are like, thank you for what you put in the magazine. I find this so important. Never thought of tying it in with veganism. So, it's really appealing to a lot of people who otherwise may not have picked it up if it was for purchase on a magazine rack.
That's really cool. Just can you tell us why you decided to put vegan in there? Is it in the...
Because I thought about this quite a bit. And calling a magazine vegetarian or veg or anything like that is almost sort of trying to stay neutral, yeah, where you appeal to everyone. You don't want to offend people that are vegan. You don't want to offend people that are vegetarian. But we're very clear. We're vegan. We won't. We've had to turn down people who wanted to advertise where their company wasn't vegan, or the product that they wanted to put in the magazine was maybe vegetarian but not vegan.
Wow, that's really awesome.
So yeah, we're very firm in our beliefs.
That's really cool to hear that. So if you're a vegan company and you want to get in on this, I think this would be the time. You know,
oh for sure, and because the market isn't, again, not just Winnipeg, not just Canada. We're distributing, and we've got actually contributors for as far as Australia, New Zealand, Italy. So the magazine is really international and went international, which was unexpected with the pilot issue.
So are you saying that it's you can get it in Australia as well, or those
yeah,
some of the
you
countries
can pick it
that
up
you
in Australia,
sent it to?
Yep.
And are you sending large batches, or is it to individuals who are requesting it?
No, these are batches that are going out to retailers. Yeah, to whether they're restaurants, health food stores, gyms, because there's a lot of fitness articles, mm-hmm, fashion articles, so a lot of the eco-friendly stores that, you know, have a lot of, well, let's just say cruelty-free clothing in their yeah, stores are also carrying it. So, no, they're going out, believe me, people at the post office know me quite well. So they're going out in big batches.
Yeah, it sounds like
so
you're,
it's great for any company that's advertising, because they might be locally in Vancouver or Toronto, but especially if they have a product that they sell or ship across country, they're getting amazing coverage.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So how many people work for the magazine right now?
Well, that's hard to answer because we're actually hiring for a few new positions right now. And we have a lot of people that in the Winnipeg vegan community are so proactive and mm-hmm, so excited about the magazine, are just even volunteering their time. So if I could tell you how many people are on staff, I couldn't even give you an answer right now.
All right. So you said that you're hiring. Is that like telecommuting, or is it you have an office based in Winnipeg that you're hiring out of?
The great thing about technology is you don't have to live in the city. And because the magazine is, you know, international, right now we're hiring for a managing editor.
Okay.
We are hiring for somebody for distribution to keep up with the demand because it's been absolutely insane, and as well as for an advertising rep. And again, they don't have to be locally in Winnipeg, which is a great thing.
Yeah. I was just having this discussion the other day with a friend how I think things are moving away from producing so much stuff, and it's sort of turning more to technology and online.
Oh,
so that's
definitely.
Yeah.
And actually, now that you mention that, by the end of September, we're actually going to have an online digital subscription where you can actually flip through the magazine, save a tree, and still read it the way you would a magazine in hand.
Yeah, it sounds like a really great outreach tool to for people to go and pick up and then like leave different places. Like I do that sometimes with Veg News. I leave a copy at the doctor's office or something like that.
Exactly.
But now people don't even have to pay for it and they can do that. So that's a really easy outreach tool.
It is, and it has actually was used last month at a vegan meetup and outreach in the park here. So yeah, it's doing exactly that.
Awesome. So can you just tell people how they can get involved if they're interested?
Sure. They can either go directly to the website, which is www.veganewsmagazine.com, or they can just email us. They can email us at info@veganewsmagazine.com for more information as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Sonia. It sounds like there's a lot of great stuff that's coming your way and things are happening that are really awesome. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having us on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And thank you for bearing with our technical difficulties.
Oh, not a problem. I don't know what it sounded like on your end, but it was nice and quiet on mine as I waited.
All right. Take
not
care.
Not a problem. And we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
We'd like to talk to you, maybe an article for the December issue.
Awesome. I'm definitely interested. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Take care and have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
And now we have Robin's events for you.
We do. So, first, the Vancouver Unitarians Focus on Food Film Festival, which has been happening every Wednesday through July and August, is happening again this Wednesday. They're at 949 West 49th Avenue in Vancouver. 7 o'clock, they're playing Diet for a New America. This is John Robbins' new film. He's the founder of EarthSave International, and the film reveals through his fascinating story how a plant-based diet can have far-reaching positive effects on both our health and the environment. And then September 1st is the Day of Awareness for the Dolphins of Taiji. September 1st is the start of the Taiji Dolphin Hunt. During the 2010-2011 drive hunt, the Taiji Fisheries Union killed 850 dolphins, and an additional 171 were sold into captivity. So the Day of Awareness is happening September 1st, Thursday, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Japanese Consulate, 1177 West Hastings Street in Vancouver. And if you want more info on that, you can go to www.countdowntocove.com. Let's start an ocean-loving revolution. The WAKE Project is having a brainstorming session on Sunday, September 11th at 7 p.m. WAKE is an awareness initiative that seeks to educate people about the importance of sharks, rays, and tunas to our planet's fragile ocean ecosystem. So they're having the brainstorming session on September 11th at 7 p.m. at the Wired Monk Coffee Shop, 2610 West 4th Avenue. And everyone's welcome. Look for a blue t-shirt. Free yoga classes are happening all of August at the Prana College Yoga Space.
I like free.
Yeah, me too. It's number 200, 291 East 2nd Avenue, Vancouver. So all I ask is bring a yoga mat and show up 10 minutes early for the first time you go so that you can register. Yeah, it's free classes for about another 10 days. So
have you tried it yet?
I haven't been. My sister was. She said it was beautiful, beautiful space.
Cool.
Yeah. Their website is Prana, P-R-A-N-A, yogacollege.com/public-yoga-classes.php. And I just wanted to mention that a local Food Not Bombs organization is going to be starting up again soon in Vancouver. Food Not Bombs is an organization that shares free vegan and vegetarian meals with the hungry in over 1,000 cities around the world to protest war, poverty, and the destruction of the environment. With over a billion people going hungry each day, how can we spend another dollar on war? So the kitchen works by cooking up delicious donated food and then bringing it to an outdoor area to share with whoever wants some, basically.
Yeah.
So if you know of possible food donors or if you'd like to help in any other way, including becoming a member, cooking once a week, you can transport food if you have a truck or a van, attending meetings, or a car, actually, or raising awareness about the movement in your community, I don't know, maybe drop a line to Animal Voices and we can get in touch.
So it's just animalvoicesradio@gmail.com is our email address if people are interested in that. Because, yeah.
Sweet. Okay.
I think Tara is involved with that and yeah. I'd like to be involved with that.
Okay. Me too.
So, yeah. And if people are interested in learning more about Food Not Bombs, we did an interview with Keith McHenry on August 5th that you can look for. Don't think it's on our website yet, but it should be on our iTunes podcast. It was a really great interview, a lot of info about like the history of Food Not Bombs and what's been going on and stuff, so
Keith
people can check
McHenry's
that out.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's totally awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah, so was that all you had?
Yeah, that's it.
Perfect, thank you. No, okay, so we have Kelly Pelosa on the line with us now. She is in San Francisco on her way to the Vita Vegan Con conference, which is the first annual vegan bloggers conference, and I'm super jealous that she gets to go to that. So welcome to the Animal Voices show here on 102.7 FM CFRO. Are you there, Kelly?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. So are you excited about where you're headed right now?
I am, and I'm excited about the stops that I'm doing on the way. I've been in San Francisco since 2 days ago, and then I'm going to stop at Seattle on the way to Vita Vegan Con. And
cool.
I'm stoked.
Are you driving?
No, I'm flying.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. So where are you regularly located that you're having all this fun?
I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
So, yeah, San Francisco is probably a little more exciting, I would imagine.
Yeah, a little bit.
So you wrote the cookbook, The Cookie Vegan Cookie Connoisseur. I was saying earlier that I keep just calling it The Cookie Connoisseur. I've just omitted the word vegan because I guess that's where I'm at. But it was The Vegan Cookie Connoisseur. Do you want to tell us a bit about your inspiration for that?
Yeah. Well, I've always loved baking, and when I became vegan, I just really got inspired by all the cookbooks and blogs that I was reading, and I really got into baking. And cookies have always been one of my favorite desserts to make, so I just decided that I had all these cookie recipes and I wanted to make some more and maybe put them into a book. And I was just getting into photography as well, so I started photographing my cookie recipes and blogging about them, and it just kept going and going and eventually became a book.
So does that mean that you took all the pictures for the book?
Yes.
Cool. That's awesome. And I think you were 18 when you wrote this book. Is that right?
I started when I was 16, and then it got published last year when I was 20.
Wow, that's really cool. To be that young, and I don't know if I knew how to put cookies together, like to make recipes and stuff like that. I was saying earlier that one of the ones that I'm the most interested to make is the root beer float cookies. I haven't been able to find root beer extract is the only thing that's stopping me, but I will get there. Did you win a contest with that? Is that right?
Yeah, the Earth Balance Made Just Right contest.
Yeah,
on their website.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that just happened earlier this year.
And what was your prize, if you don't mind me asking?
It was a $400 Whole Foods gift certificate and some Earth Balance free coupons, which really helped me a lot because I go through so much Earth Balance.
Yeah. So are you putting that to use to writing anything new?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I used all my free coupons within 3 months. It should have been a year supply. But, yeah.
I don't think they were taking that into account, were they?
I don't think so. Like, you know those really huge containers of Earth Balance?
That's what you use them on?
I get about 3 of those a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, I'm actually working on a new book right now, so I've been using a lot of that Earth Balance.
And what is your new book going to be about?
It's going to be baked goods inspired by drinks.
Oh.
So kind of like the first chapter in the cookie book, but all kinds of baked goods, not just cookies.
Wow. Is there anything that you've sort of created already for that you can give us a preview of?
Yeah. I'm like a third of the way done with it right now. And I've been working on some alternatives to buttercream for frosting cupcakes and cakes. And I've been working on this mousse lately. So last week I just made a red wine chocolate cake with wine mousse, and it's really good. And I have Shirley Temple cookies, root beer float, whoopie pies. Those are filled with root beer ice cream.
Wow.
And a whole bunch of different coffee desserts and cupcakes, fudge, all kinds of things.
I can see the looks on Alyssa and Robin's faces right now. They're like, I'm hungry for all of that.
You must be really popular with your friends. You have like cookie tasting parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just tell them to come over and eat everything in my house because it's taking over my kitchen.
Help me, I can't eat all these.
we were joking earlier about how many cookies you must have eaten when you wrote your cookbook. Do you have a tally at all? Do you have an estimate?
I don't. I should do that for this book. I haven't been, but it's because I live alone right now, so
uh-oh.
I can't eat them all myself. So I just tell people, eat them all, I'm going to make more.
Yeah, that's what happens to me whenever I bake. I have to, it's like, it needs to get out of this house, or I'm just going to eat all of these cookies. I made your peanut butter oatmeal cookies last week and was like, I can't eat them all. It has to stop. So it is a really great way to share. And do you want to maybe just tell us how you came to veganism?
How I came to veganism?
Yeah.
Well, I've always loved animals, and when I was about 10, I first went vegetarian because my favorite animal was a cow, and I made the connection between cows on the dinner table and the animal. And at that point, I really had no idea how to cook for myself or what I was doing or what to eat, so that lasted about a year. But since I've always been interested in vegetarianism and veganism, I returned to it when I was 14 and went vegan a few months later and have been ever since.
Wow, that's awesome. You went vegan at 14? Is that what you just said? I went vegetarian at 13 and thought that was pretty good. So I'm a little jealous of how advanced you were at 14, but that's okay. So what kind of activism are you into? Are you mostly into food activism and just sort of sharing veganism with everyone?
Yeah, mostly food activism and doing bakes. I do a lot of bake sales in Milwaukee and Chicago, and I've done some protest leafletting type of activism, but I'm really more into bake sales.
That's awesome. Do you want to tell us more about Vita VeganCon that you're headed down to and what you're going to be doing there?
Yeah. I'm going to be doing a speech and a cooking demo. Mm-hmm. So the speech will be with Hannah Kaminsky and Sunny from PETA 2, and we're going to be talking about young veganism and how to be vegan when at a young age and the trials and tribulations and how to get through that. And the cooking demo is going to be with Joni Newman, and we're going to do a backyard barbecue type thing with an Indian twist. So she's going to be making kebabs, and I'm going to do rosewater lemonade cupcakes.
Wow, I kind of feel like I shouldn't have asked, because now I'm hungry, and we don't get to go, but that's okay. So what other plans do you have while you're in Portland?
Just visiting all the restaurants and eating everything. It's going to be a very busy weekend, so yeah. Whatever I can fit in there.
And you mentioned that you're going to be collaborating with PETA, too. Is that something that you do frequently? Or is it just for the Vita Vegan
Con? I'm just working with Sunny for the speech.
That's cool. Are there any other future plans that you have beyond the cookbook that you're working on right now?
I'd love to open a bakery someday, but right now I'm still in school, so 2 more years left, and then we'll see what happens after that.
And what are you studying in school?
Photography.
Oh, cool. That's really awesome. Is any of your photography on the veganstockphoto.com?
It's not. I've been looking into that, though, so that may be a future plan. I've just been super busy this summer with the book and vlogging and preparing for this trip and everything.
Cool. And your blog again? For people who are interested? You have two, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The cookie one is the vegancookieconnoisseur.com, and my food and travel blog is satanbeatsyourmeat.wordpress.com.
And what can people find on the second one? Obviously, the first one is a lot of cookies, but...
the second one is events I attend and bake sales and cooking and baking that I do that isn't cookie-related. Mm-hmm. And it's also traveling, so different restaurants I go to and people I meet and just all the inspiring stuff that goes on.
That's cool.
What was that vlog again, the second one?
Satan Beats Your Meat.
Satan Beats Your Meat.
Which is, that's spelled S-E-I-T-A-N, right? Is
yes.
that right? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So people might not know that.
Little play on words.
Don't go to Satan Beats Your Meat. But yeah, so that's cool. And just wondering where you find your inspiration for so many of your recipes, because I find that they're really creative.
I just think of creating different flavors as an art. So I've always been interested in art, and I go to art school. So that is where I get a lot of my inspiration. And for this book, I've just been looking through drink recipes and books about drinks and doing lots of research and finding creative ways to incorporate those flavors into baked goods. And I'm happy to be doing more than cookies this time, because some drinks go better with a cupcake or a fudge or like a crispy cookie or something, because it's hard to work with just cookies sometimes.
Yeah,
so I'm happy to be expanding.
I guess it's a little bit, it's limiting and challenging to stick to just one type of dessert, I suppose. Did you find that when you were writing the first cookbook?
Since there's so many different kinds of cookies to make, it wasn't so bad. But just cookies got repetitive after a while, so I'm really staying on my feet for this book and trying a bunch of different things, and it's been very exciting, and it's really a learning process. Since I'm so used to doing cookies all the time, I'm now trying different kinds of things, and there's some failures, some things are working, and I've been happy with it so far.
What was your biggest, did you have any sort of mishaps when you were writing the cookbook, the cookie connoisseur? Did you, the way that I burned your cookies last week?
Sometimes a recipe would work one time, and the second time it would completely flop, and I'd have to figure out what was wrong, or just getting the texture right. But I can't recall any huge mishaps.
Oh, so you mean you've never, done what I've done, where you put baking soda instead of baking powder in your cookies and then wonder why they taste terrible.
Oh, I've completely forgot baking soda or baking powder sometimes, and everything just... Oh, actually, a few times when I made cookies, they baked and turned into one giant cookie.
Oh!
It wasn't so bad, but they were supposed to be...
And you're like, maybe that was too big of a tablespoonful.
Yeah.
That does sound interesting. Yeah. I guess, do cookies easily, can you make them into one big giant cookie pretty easily, or do you have to alter the cooking time significantly?
I think so. Yeah, for like the chocolate chip cookie recipes or something like that, you can make a giant cookie and then lower the baking temperature to maybe 325, I think that's 350, and just bake them a little longer and keep checking. It should work.
That's kind of good to know. Did you have a question, Robin?
Oh, no. I was just going to mention a pie that I once ate that had salt replaced the sugar.
Oh!
My aunt had a little. It was pretty awful.
Especially since when you're making a pie, I would think there's a lot of sugar. That sounds like a really terrible experience.
It was bad, yeah. We all tried to be polite about it. But...
I myself, the first time I lived away from home, I was in a volunteer program here in Canada called Katimovic, and part of it is you have to, two people stay home every week and cook all of the meals for everyone. And I made pancakes as my first hot breakfast that week, and nobody told me until the last person that none of the pancakes were cooked.
Oh, no.
They all just ate, like, runny, half-cooked pancakes. I guess that was nice of them to be like, oh, well, we knew that you didn't really know how to cook, but...
Sweet.
It was a little bit sad when we got to the last person was like, I thought you should know that they were not cooked.
For next time.
Yeah. Do you have any breakfast things that maybe people can look forward to in the future? Do you do any breakfast recipe cooking?
Yeah, actually in the new book, I've been doing some waffles and pancakes.
Oh, that are
so
based off of drinks?
Sort of baking, yeah.
Wow.
It is like strawberry banana smoothie waffles.
Oh. We shouldn't come to this show hungry and then ask food questions. That does sound delicious. So if people are interested in checking out your book, is there anywhere that they can go to find it specifically? Like,
yeah.
Do you sell it on your website or your blogs?
Yeah, actually, I just got a new shipment of books, so they'll be up for sale on my blog in September. So there's a link on the vegancookieconnoisseur.com, so they can buy it directly from me, and I'll sign it and ship it out myself.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And so once again, if you just want to let people know the two blogs that you do have, you just said one, the Vegan Cookie Connoisseur, and the other one, where they can check you out.
Seitan beatsyourmeat.wordpress.com.
Okay, and again, that's spelled
S-E-I-T-A-N.
Sorry, I'm not a good speller out loud out of my head, I guess. Well, I hope you have a really great time at Vita VeganCon. It does sound like it's going to be quite exciting down there in Portland for, again, if people don't know what it is, it's the first annual vegan blogger conference, which it sold out months ago.
How many people?
I don't. No. Kelly, do you know how many people are going to be at Vita
VeganCon?
It's
a lot, definitely.
Yeah, they sold out in like, I think it sold out in February or March.
Yeah, and we've been planning it since October is when they asked me to be a part
of
it.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
Been a long time.
So I think, I'm not sure if you can get tickets for next year yet, but if people are interested, I totally wanted to go, but it was sold out before I got a chance. People should just keep checking that because I think it's going to be really great. And it,
Are you speaking at the conference, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm doing a speech and a cooking demo.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And they've also got some cooking demos set up off-site as well at like Whole Foods.
Yeah,
that
they're at Whole Foods.
Yeah. It looks like a really good time, and it's people from all over the world are going to it. So I'm totally jealous, and hopefully we can get some sort of follow-up maybe with the organizers afterwards to hear about it, because, you know, we have to live vicariously.
Definitely. And everyone's going to be blogging about it afterwards.
I'm sure Carissa will see you there next year.
Yes, hopefully. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Kelly, and have a safe travel and enjoy San Francisco and Portland, and I believe you said Seattle as well. Those are all really great vegan cities to go to. So thank you. Take care.
Thank you for having me.
Alrighty.
You're listening to Animal Voices on 102.7 FM. Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We're just at Hastings and Columbia here in the downtown east side, broadcasting live, and we're all, of course, volunteers, and this is a cooperative radio station. And I'm just going to just quickly just plug membership to Co-op Radio.
Yeah.
Co-op Radio is Vancouver's listeners-supported radio. And we really need the help of all listeners to help the station keep going, where it's, you know, it pretty much runs on I don't know what some people might call a shoestring. And lots of love. And, yeah, it's the love of the community and the support of the listeners that keeps this awesome station alive, and you can join to become a member at pretty much any amount that's within within your means. I give $5 or $10 a month. I don't remember.
I think I do $5, which is sort of like what they sort of go for standard, is like $60 a year. But if you do it as the monthly, you don't even notice it.
Yeah, and if you say Animal Voices when you become a member, then we get pats on the back for that. And
it helps keep our specific show on the air.
It does.
So if you like us.
Yeah. We need the support. And I also encourage people to keep in touch with Animal Voices on the internet. Our website is animalvoices.org. You can find videos of past guests we've had on the show. All our past episodes are there for downloading. More information. Highly suggest checking it out. We're also on Twitter, where we will let you know what's coming up on future shows and give you updates. That's Animal Voices YVR. And we are on Facebook, a great place to see videos, again, of our guests and keep in touch with what we're doing. It's Animal Voices Vancouver. And please join us. Please be our friend.
We like friends.
We do. And if you have any ideas for future interviews or books you think we should review or amazing, inspiring activists that are doing awesome work for animals, please do get in touch and let us know. Our email address is animalvoicesradio@gmail.com.
Awesome.
And I'm not really sure what's coming up on next week's show.
But I will tell you.
Excellent.
On next week's show, Allison will have Denise Swanson, who is a local animal activist, on her upcoming vegan cooking classes and just discussing vegan food activism in general. And she will also have Wendy Huntback, who is the president of the World Parrot Refuge, which will be about parrots and parrot rescue and welfare issues. So that's something to look forward to.
Awesome.
And now we're going to try that. Oh, we're going to do a PRA because we forgot to do one earlier. So we'll have that for you first.
Fruit Salad, Thursday nights at 7 p.m. on CFRO Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. Always fresh and unexpected for over 20 years with hosts Aiden Saint and Sky. Juicy, in-depth interviews with musicians, writers, performers, queer organizations, and families. Find out how fabulous and varied queer life really is. A show for all sexualities. Expect the unexpected. Fresh fruit every Thursday night at 7 p.m. on 102.7 FM. Catch a live stream at cooperadio.org or on cable in Greater Vancouver and across Canada on Star Choice Channel 845. Contact us at queerradiovancouver@gmail.com.
All right, so we're just going to leave you now with What I Be by Michael Franti, and if that doesn't work, it'll be some other song, so it'll be a surprise. So if that happens, just roll with it. Thanks for listening.
And be kind to the animals.
Yes.
I radiate like Africa and smile upon the world in a galactic love laughter. And if I were the rains, I'd wash away the whole world's pains and bring the gift of cool like ice cream trucks on sunny days. And if I were the earth, I'd be like mountains bountiful. And if I were the sky so high, I'd be like wind invincible. And if I could be a seed, I would give birth to redwood trees. And follow the trees, I generate the freshest air to breathe. And what I be is what I be. 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 And on and on and on. 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 If I could be the leaves like jade, I would stay evergreen. And spread my limbs out wide and pull up so close to me. And if I could be the roots, I would dig deep like ancestry. And follow the fruits, you make the sweetest cherry pie from me. And if I could be the night, my moon replace electric lights. And magic music would transmit from outer space on satellites. And if myself could be the ocean, you would feel emotion all the time. And follow the words, then everything ever.